fishing can be a wonderful pastime. Eating fish can even more so be a wonderful pastime, especially when it's fresh and you've caught it yourself. I remember as a child, my great uncle was a wonderful fisherman and sailorman, and he lived on a farm, but he also had a summer small little lake cottage where he spent some time. I would go up and visit him while my mother was working and my father was working and spend some time with my great uncle and his wife on the farm. And I can still remember the first time he taught me how to fish. We went out to a pond. It was a very small pond hidden behind a bunch of reeds in the back of the farm property. And he gave me this little teeny weeny fishing pole, and he gave me a little cup of worms, and he taught me how to bait the hook and catch the fish. Now, if you know anything about me, I like to squirm a little bit. I don't like to sit still. And as Mary was talking with the children, and if any of you have been fishing, you know the key to successful fishing is to be what?
Patient.
Still and patient. You don't want to disturb the fish from their habitat, right? Well, me, my little squirmy self next to the pond back in the middle of the farm, was like, and of course I, you know, barely caught a fish. But one time, I did catch a line. Have you ever caught a fish? Have you ever experienced that? It pulls the line, and you know you have one. It's like, woo! So you reel it in, you know, and it's a very exciting time. And of course, then you have to measure it and make sure it's long enough to keep. And if it's too short, you have to take it off the hook and what? Put it back into the water and give it new life. Well, one summer, I got old enough to graduate from the pond to the lake. This meant, of course, the fish would be larger. The adventure would be scarier. And I would need to learn really how to keep balance, because if you catch a big fish, guess what can happen to you? It can pull you up out of the boat and where? Into the water with the fishing line attached to your hand, right? Unless you know how to properly reel it in, it's an adventure, right? So I graduated to this. And then when you go fishing for the bigger fish, you actually can use little fish to catch them. So in addition to learning how to bigger fish, I also had to put a bigger fish on the hook. I know. See, this is my experience. So I found out that I was not really a good fisherman. First of all, I couldn't be patient, I couldn't be still, and I couldn't get the whole hooking of the fish thing. And yet, Jesus talks a lot about fishing in the Bible. Some things I did learn about fishing apply very much to today's scripture and to our approach to Christianity and inviting others to join us. Some of the disciples that Jesus called to follow him were fishermen by trade. We heard this. They knew how to throw the net over the boat and to find the right time and the right place and the right way to bring and gather fish in. They would eat the fish fresh, or they would sell them or trade them for money. And when Jesus called the fishermen, it was a call to leave the life they knew and follow Jesus into an entirely new way. Since the idea of abandoning what they might think was what they loved into something unknown and terrifying, Jesus encouraged them by saying, "Don't worry. Your skill sets that you have, that you're really good at, can be used over here. So let me teach you how to be fishers of men." As I learned years ago on the pond behind my uncle's farm, if you want to be a good fisherman, there are certain things you need to know. And it's my understanding that the same things you need to know to go fishing are what you need to be a good, invitational, welcoming person to other people. If you want to be a good fisherman for Jesus, the first point I'm going to emphasize is you need to know what you are fishing for. How many of you like to eat catfish? Anybody like to eat catfish? When you go fishing for catfish, it's very different than going fishing for a different kind of fish. And you know, down south, they call them crappies. Did you ever know that? The crabs? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so if you have to take a totally different approach than if you were going out to sea to catch a swordfish. Similar to the difference between the pond and the lake, I'm certain even more differently than if you were in the sea. So depending on where you would go fishing, you might need, as Mary emphasized with the children, different equipment, different size poles, different size hooks, different kinds of bait. Your approach would be totally different. For example, if you needed to fish for barracuda or a shark for some reason, you might need a steel leader. Is that how you pronounce that correctly? Okay, those of you that are fishing? Steel leader, excuse me. Steel leader. Okay, Jesus not only calls the early followers to be fishermen, he also calls the modern day Christian to fish as well. And as a church, our goal is to go fishing for people for Christ. That is what he calls us to do. So our first step is to identify who are we calling to be among us. The Bible teaches us, whether we like it or not, that we are all descendants of Adam. Who remembers who Adam is? Yes? That's right. Thank you, Ben. Adam was the first person on earth, right? Created by God. And with Adam is the introduction of sin. And whether we like it or not, each and every one of us inherits from Adam a need for God's love, a need for God's forgiveness, and a need for salvation. And also, whether we like to hear it or not, we are also taught from the Bible that no one is worthy of God's love. We do not deserve it. And since you can't earn it and you're not worthy of it, therefore all the people around us should always be approached with humility and grace. We do not know what the person next to us has been with in the story of their life. And we cannot assume that just because they're grumpy or just because they have a sad face or just because they snip at us or cut us off in traffic, that they are not going through a very difficult time in their life. And what they might need from us more than responding as we might want to with anger or harsh words, maybe what they really need is a kind word. When Jesus invited the fishermen to fish, he told them and he talked to them about fishing. When he was with farmers, he talked to them about farming. When he met a woman who was from a different ethnic background, he talked about her way of life, what she would understand. When he encountered a rich young ruler, guess what he talked about? Money. If you are thirsty for the water that only Jesus can give, if you are hungry for the bread that Jesus can provide, if you are carrying guilt weighing heavy on your shoulders and you need forgiveness, then I would hope that all of us would represent those things to those people. Jesus knew how to deal with people on terms that they could understand. We don't ever want to narrow our vision so that we only include certain segments of society. But we also need to recognize that even though some people might come into our midst here at Cornerstone, maybe they will not be happy here. And at first, our feelings might be hurt. Oh my goodness, they're going to leave. They're never going to come back. They hate us. Maybe there's something wrong with us. But just remember that just because people come in and people leave, everyone needs to find a place to worship God where they feel at peace. And part of being good fishers of people, as God calls us to be, is to be willing to let people who are not happy here find a place they can call home. And it's not personal. The reality of the life in the church is that you can't make everyone happy. I know that out west, at least in the Midwest, there is a place where they have a biker church. Everybody comes to church on a Harley or some sort of motorcycle, right? They're all wearing leather, they're wearing bandanas, they're usually dressed accordingly, and they have a special kind of worship service. I'm sure that if a biker came to our church, we would be what? Welcoming of them. But perhaps they wanted to go to a church where there were other what? Bikers. All I'm saying is that we need to realize that some people who come to our church will like what they see, and some will not. To be a good fisherman for Jesus, we also need to learn to think like a fish. Now, some of you might be saying, wait a minute, how do fish even think? Don't they have a small, teeny-weeny brain? And what are they thinking for? But we need to know the habits and actions and personalities of fish to help us catch them. The good fishermen, if you ever know them, have you ever seen any of the fishing shows on TV? Have you ever watched them? They study the patterns of fish. They know when they come up to the surface. They know when they go down low. They know where they're in warmer parts of the water. They know which parts of water certain types of fish have habitat. They study fish. I think one of the obstacles of us being good fishers of people as Christians is that we sometimes forget what it's like to be outside the church. In other words, they say after you study theology and religion at seminary for 3 years, you can't go back, right? You've studied for 3 years now, seminary school, as Anthony would say, and with that means that you are now entrenched in religious study and theological words and big ideas, right? And you can't take those away. So it's hard to go out into the world then and be with an average person and talk about theology. You have to almost switch your vocabulary, right? The same goes with people that are not at church a lot. You can't just go up to them and start using the acronyms that everybody knows. You know, like PCUSA. Oh, I'm from a PCUSA church. What? You know, most people don't know initials. They don't know what that stands for. You might not even know the initials, right? Some people use initials and it turns people off, right? We have to be very careful when we're approaching other people who are not of church to talk about what's fascinating to them, not what's fascinating to us. And try to find a common ground. Does that make sense? Like if people like music, you talk about music. If they like the arts, you talk about arts. If they like children, you talk about children. If you meet them at a soccer field, you talk about soccer, right? You find a way to connect with them where they are. You don't expect them to be able to jump in and be where you are. There's a big church out in California called Saddleback. It's one of my favorites. I've been out there for several trainings. Rick Warren is the senior pastor there. And they did an extensive opinion poll one time to find out why people came to church and didn't like it and left. And they gave some feedback. Now, I'm sure you're not going to be surprised by this. The first thing they said was, the sermons are boring, irrelevant, and way too long. I hear you, okay? Number two, members are unfriendly to visitors. What? That's not us. We're never unfriendly to visitors. Well, I will tell you this. It's hard when you see a friend you haven't seen in a couple weeks at church, right? What is your tendency to do? There's somebody you don't know. There's your friend you haven't seen in a couple weeks. What do you think our natural tendency is? Yes, Ben. To go talk to who? The person you know, right? The person you know well and miss. Versus talking to the person what? That you've never met. But what do you think Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to talk to people who are new. That doesn't mean we ignore our friends that we miss or that we don't make time to catch up with them or see them, but we have to be careful. Number three, churches put too much emphasis on money. Excellent, right? Because we need money to make the church work, and so what do churches talk about? Money, 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 money. So when people come in that are visiting, they don't like to hear about that, right? They don't like to hear we need it. They don't like to hear they're supposed to give it. And they definitely are not in a frame of mind to commit their important resources to a church they just met. So they find it a turnoff. And number four, and this is kind of interesting, they think that churches might take not such good care of their children. They're worried about leaving their kids in Sunday school or in the nursery or anywhere where they're not with them. And that's a bad feeling to leave thinking, I don't know if they're going to take good care of my kids. We must realize that a vast majority of people are far more concerned about their car payment than they are about whether Mary was the beloved virgin or not. And even though that may be important to us, we need to be careful to not throw our lingo and our overly concerned religious feelings onto those who have not yet been a part of a church. Number three. If you're going to be a fisher of people for Jesus, you need to go where the fish are biting. If you observe fishermen by trade, especially those that actually catch fish, because, you know, some people actually say they're going fishing, and you know what they want to do, really? They just don't want to be where they're supposed to be, right? So they take a little fishing rod out or a fishing line, and what, they go sit by the water, and they put it in there, and what do they want to do? They just want to relax, and they don't even care if they catch a fish. Right? They're just going there to kind of have a trade or a hobby or an escape. And so I'm saying if you observe fishermen who actually catch fish, then you will see that they don't stay in the same place at the same time. I remember one time when I went fishing with my grandfather, not my uncle. He took me into the Everglades with a fishing pole. And I was heading up the river, and I got all comfortable, put my fishing rod in, and I was ready to sit there and wait a while. And he's like, oh, no, the fish aren't biting here. We're going. Pull on your rod. I was like, what? I just got comfortable. What are you talking about? Oh, they're not here. We're leaving. And next thing you know, move to a new place and fish again, right? They look for and watch for the bubbles or whatever. I mean, I'm not a fisherman, so you can help me. But they know where the fish are, and they know where to go when they're biting, when they're hungry, when you can catch them. We need to mingle in various areas around us here in Jackson and see if others are open to you talking about your faith or your church and see if they might want to come and try it out. If they don't seem to be interested, that's okay. Don't worry. They're not biting. But continue to talk about how much you love your church, how much you love your church family, and how being a part of Cornerstone might benefit them. Number four, if you're going to be a good fisherman for Jesus, you need to catch fish on their own terms. As we talked about with Mary, most people like to eat. Food is a wonderful way to come together, breaking bread, as they call it in the Bible. And most people like to eat, but you have to use the right bait, because not everybody eats the right and same things. Some like to swim on the bottom, so you have to fish on the bottom. Others hit flies on the surface, and so you need to go on the surface. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "For though I am free from all humanity, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more." And then he talks about how with like a person that's Jewish, he would become like a Jew, with a Gentile like a Gentile. And he says that I might gain them that they are without the law, to the weak I become weak. I make all things to all people that I might by all means offer saving grace. Be careful, because Paul is not talking here about compromising the message of God. Instead, he's talking about adapting the way you talk and you are to find things in common with people that are not churched. Number five, if you're going to be a good fisherman for Jesus, use more than one hook. Some fishermen say the best way to fish, and once again, I'm not a fisherman, so maybe you can correct me, is that you have to use more than one type of hook and put two, more than one line out at the same time. Is that true? You guys ever been fishing? Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So the more hooks you use, the more fish you will catch. Now, I don't know about you, but we live in a world of a lot of choices. Like, I just changed my cable from Verizon Fios to, sorry for those of you that work there, but to Optimum. And anyway, whatever. He's like going through with me what channels I have available to me. You know, he's handing me this slip of paper and it's like 17 pages long of channels. And I'm like, really? I mean, seriously, how can I even ever find anything to watch on any of them that I like? Sometimes I like cooking shows, right? But a lot of the time, I don't like anything, right? We have a lot of choices. Have you ever been in the grocery store and you've gone down the cereal aisle? Have you been down the cereal aisle? Seriously? I mean, I am overwhelmed. There are so many choices of healthy cereals even. Like, I like granola and, you know, grain and the ones that tell you they're good for your heart, right? So I thought, oh, there's only going to be one choice. I'll just go pick that one off the shelf and it'll be awesome, right? No. There's like a million healthy cereals. There's a million sugary cereals. Now even the sugary cereals say that they're made with whole grain, right? So they're not even as bad as the, you get it. There is a lot of choices out there for everybody. Same thing with restaurants and fast food chains, and it can be overwhelming. Same with what to do on Sunday morning. It's beautiful out there today, right? It'd be really nice to be on the golf course, for those of you who play golf, right? It'd be really nice to be down by the beach. It'd be really nice to be in the park. Or at Six Flags, it's open now, right? There's a lot of choices where we could be this morning. And a lot of people around us also have a lot of choices. To narrow them in, to make a choice, to try our church, we have to realize that focusing on Jesus is something that is important to us. And we need to learn to share that faith with others also. But to share it in a way that's welcoming and not judgmental. If you listen to a fishing report, as they have on WWLAM 870, The host offers all sorts of fishing tips for the area, advice on what kind of lures or bait to use in certain water and temperature and depth, and he talks about when it's best to fish and where to fish, which includes all good advice. Jesus is telling, in his advice to all of us, how to fish. The first question you might want to ask yourselves before you begin fishing is, why would you even do so? Does church matter to you? Is your church family important to you? Are your friends at church important to you? Tom and Stuart McLean were brothers. When they graduated from college, they went into business with their father, who was an electronic genius. And the three of them were a fantastic team in business. One day, they met up with a friend of theirs who had just started a mission project. He had grown up in a not-so-nice area and had realized that his neighborhood was even failing more than it had been when he was young, and he wanted to make a difference. He invited his two friends that were successful in business to join him in this venture. He promised them that he couldn't guarantee them the income they were making now. He promised them that he wasn't sure it was going to work. He promised them that the kids that they would interact with might not receive them well. But he promised them it was worth the effort. When the two boys went home to tell their dad that they weren't going to stay in successful business with him, that they were going to go off on this missionary venture, you can see what their dad's face might have been like. Are you kidding? We have this successful venture going. We are doing amazing business. Why would you want to leave and go over and help this neighborhood when you don't even know if it's going to work? You don't even know if you're going to make a difference. Why would you want to do that? Craziest thing I ever heard of. But they went ahead and said, Dad, we've got to try. Life is worth more than money. I'm not saying everybody should quit a successful business and run out to a neighborhood where people are struggling and make a difference there. But you need to find what is passionate to you, what you care about the most, what you want to go fishing for, and reach out and invite others to join with you in the same way. Know that the Lord loves us, that none of us are worthy, but he equips all of us to go fishing for him, for now and evermore. Amen. We are moving into our time of communion. We are having communion 2 weeks in a row, which I know sometimes is sort of unusual.